Well, glory be to God. Last hour was great. This hour will be better. It goes in the body of Christ. It goes from faith to faith, grace to grace, strength to strength, glory to glory. So the hour following must be better than the first. All right? That's a little lesson in the Bible. On the Bible. I don't know what I want to say. The Lord would say to you, open your eyes and look around and see what I've created that clearly shows my strength, the invisible things, and the visible things of God, can power of God, can be seen by the creation. Look around, you blind thing, and give God credit. He created heaven and earth. He created everything in heaven, everything on earth. Get that straight. God has never allowed evolution to do one thing for him. Hallelujah. Humble yourself and believe that the creator of heaven, creator of earth, creator of things below the earth can do all things, and all things are possible if you can believe what he has said for you to do, saith the Lord. Well, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like that. Don't care what you all did. Amen. Amen. I thought there was something, but I don't know what it was. But, oh, by the way, that was a tongue interpretation. That's for denominational people. Well, I don't care what denomination you are. That's for you. You know that? That is for you. That you might believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We're going to go on to chapter 12, the book of Acts. A very interesting chapter, really. One that's difficult to believe for anybody. But God will convince you over the years that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has never changed. He never will. You know what yesterday was? Jesus was that way. You know what today is? Jesus was this way. You know what tomorrow is? Jesus will be that way, or will be that way tomorrow. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You unbelieving people, I didn't know I had so many friends on this earth that were like me. Do you know that? I couldn't believe the Bible. Goodness sakes, my mother was a Baptist and my dad was a Northern Methodist, and they weren't even born again. But they got born again when my dad was 17 in 1924, I think it was. Yeah. Born again, a whole bunch of them. And I tell you, my dad believed God for me. He'd tell me, as a young lad, I went to John Wesley Holiness Church. It was what John Wesley taught. You people say, you go to John Wesley Church, if they didn't teach holiness, if they don't teach holiness, it's not John Wesley Methodism. John Wesley taught it. It's right in the First United Methodist discipline what he taught. Thank God. You know, John Wesley had a great influence on the human race. He was a man God raised up, an Englishman, and he did preach that Bible like it was written. Now, I'm not saying he walked perfect before God. I wouldn't say that about anybody. Although I'll tell you this, I walk perfect before God today. I will tell you that about somebody. Amen. God keeps me in line. If I even start to make a mistake, it's like driving a good horse. Come here. You know, I'm a horseman. I've ridden them. I've driven them in teams and all kinds of work. And I know about the reins of a horse and a bit in their mouths. And they're put there that they be guided correctly. Thank God. Are we wild? We're going from bits to... Amen. Let's get back to something. Where were we? Acts 12. Let's go.
Verse 1. Now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with a sword.
Look at that. Did you know that was the king that killed an apostle? Did you know that? Well, don't think kings like you. Let me tell you, if you're a good friend to a king, you better be watching. You may lose your head any minute. And you might be the wrong spirit being close to him. Do you know that? Thank God. You'll be brought before kings and governors as a testimony against them, but not to become great friends with them. Amen. Let's go.
Verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quadrants of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him.
See the duty of a church when a leader's in trouble? Pray, don't weep. Don't get together, what are we going to do? Pray. Real simple, huh? Let's go.
Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and a keeper before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not what was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews.
Now, I want to say something. Not very much, well, the Apostle Paul, I think, was the only one that was in prison a lot or for any great length of time. And had he not needed to see Caesar by the will of God, he would have not, he'd have been turned loose. Today, the church, there's a spirit with the church that is just the wrong spirit. And these people believe you're suffering for Christ's sake. I'm not saying there are not certain cases because I don't know. But I'm telling you, this is God talking to you out of me. And a lot of your suffering is suffering for the flesh and not suffering for the will of God, or by the will of God. God got Peter out of there. James went to heaven. Terry Bye went to heaven. Wicked witchcraft, wicked people killed him. Killed his body. Thank God. And he was going to take chemotherapy the next day. Started. And God took him to heaven quickly. You know, and I got the whole world stirred up about what I said, killed Terry Bye. I mean, I got a whole bunch of flakes stirred up. Wicked spirits. Because I said divination. I said flattery. That's what I said. Post-flattery. If you look in the Bible, you know flattery is flattering divination. Lying divination. Lying vanities. Now, and I did I stir up a bunch of crazy people by saying that? Wicked spirits, thank God, got stirred up after me that are just pursuing me, persecuting me, afflicting me. You think I'm paying any attention to you? No! Peter got out quick. Now, Kathy, what's next?
Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, It is his angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished.
Look at the unbelief. They wouldn't believe that Peter was out. This lady saw him. Damsel saw him. They said, No. Well, then it's his angel. Oh, people can be blind, dumb, and deaf to the things of the Spirit. You know that? Unreal. But it was Peter. Now, Kathy, what happened?
Verse 17. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what had become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death. And he went down from Judea unto Caesarea and there abode. And Herod was highly displeased with him.
Hold it just a minute. Now, this is hard to believe. And Peter's lying there, bound between two soldiers, two guards, chains. And an angel walks in there. I don't know if he walked, he did something. He got in there. He smote Peter in the side. And got him up. And unhooked him from those guards. You think God can't do things? And took him out through the gate, two gates, I think it said. Told him to go. He went back to where they were. Showed up the gate. The people didn't believe it either. I understand that. But I tell you, folks, these things God still does. God does them today. I wouldn't have this job if I didn't believe God was the same yesterday, today, and forever. No. You know why I never wanted to be a minister of the gospel? Because I was afraid I'd be somebody on some little dumb corner with nobody to believe and help and end up, you know, with nothing. Well, that never happened to me by the grace of God. Do you know that? That was not what God had intended for me, and it's not what God had intended for you. And no, these great mega churches that you call them, they're not mega churches. They're a mega congregation of no telling what. the leaders don't cast devils out, don't heal the sick, don't raise the dead. Thank God. Look, folks, the church is written and about on the pages of the Bible and not in some theological book that they got out of a seminary. Hallelujah. Where do I go next?
How about verse 20?
Okay.
And Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Sidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel,
listen to this,
sat upon his throne and made an orientation unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man.
Listen to this, presidents, kings, governors. Listen to this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Watch this. Pay attention. Go ahead.
And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost.
Is that it?
24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. In the last verse, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry and took with them John, whose surname was Mark.
Let me tell all of you, governors, preachers, presidents, kings, no matter where you're at in the world, this ministry, this message right now on live stream goes all over the world. The book of Daniel, chapter 2, God sets up kings and God puts them down. You might read in Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar, a man that had a great kingdom lifted up in pride. Lifted up in pride to the point that he went mad. God makes diviners mad. And not only that, but he grew claws with feathers. He went to the forest and he ate grass like beasts. And God did it. He dealt with it. Nebuchadnezzar, the great kingdom. Thank God. Amen. A great kingdom. But then Nebuchadnezzar returned to his own reasoning. It's all the will of God. All the will of God. And Nebuchadnezzar said, all of the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. All. Reputed as nothing. And who can say to God, what are you doing? You can't instruct God. You can't stop what he's doing. Nebuchadnezzar stated it. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. So don't think you're so cool that you're high and mighty. You're not. Amazing what that man went through, but came back to reasoning as a normal mind and said, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. That's what God thinks of flesh. Oh, these years just immediately in front of us, they are going to be wild days, wild years, wild years. It's all written in the Bible what's going to happen. You know, if you think the United States will never have a Nebuchadnezzar, you're blind or a bat. America is a great nation. A great nation. I know you people like to talk about exceptionalism. America is what it is because God made it what it is. And it's for His divine purposes. And nobody is going to instruct God, nobody, about anything. No one. God is not a man that He should lie, nor the Son of Man that He should repent. What God has said, He will do. What God has spoken, He will make it good. You can depend on it. That's God. And the hour is approaching rapidly where the mark of the beast will come upon the world. You can read about it in the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation. And every person that takes that mark will go to hell. And every person that refuses to take that mark in the right hand or the forehead, they will be God's people and He will take care of them. And they'll be saved. And they'll be here through the tribulation, giving God the glory. Matthew 24, they'll be here to the end, preaching the gospel. I plan on being here, preaching the gospel. You know, my grandfather, 72, had a good dinner, sat down in a rocking chair out on the porch, went to heaven. My dad was 88, and he was having some medical problems. They had him in the hospital two or three days. They said, you're going to have to go into a nursing home or assisted living or something because you can't live alone any longer. Dad said, well, I want to go home, and I'll make the decision. He goes home. He talks to me on the phone about 5:30. He talks to my older sister. He talks to my younger sister. And my sister just younger than me, third one, the third of the family, third child, was sitting by him. Excuse me, my Lord. And Dad just went to heaven. Betty sitting there by him. He said to the hospital and the doctors, I'll go home. Think about this. See you. Now, my dad and granddad always had a desire to go to heaven. Now, I know fools will misunderstand this, but I have no desire to go to heaven. I have a desire to meet Jesus in the air. How's that? If we go back to heaven for a few days, I don't know about all you experts. I just know I'm going to meet Him in the air. with a bunch of you that like my style of gospel preaching and walking in it. Now, we're going to have what I understand, it's a long time since I studied it, but I understand I'm going to meet him in air and come back down to the Mount of Olives. I don't believe I'll be in heaven. I think I'm going to be on earth. Amen. And, you know, God said that whatever he found me doing, when Jesus returned, he'd give me authority and rule over it. Now, I don't know where I will be when I meet him in the air. And I said something I don't know that I'll do. And I'll come down on the Mount of Olives. I might come down in Plano. Well, you people got it all figured out. I don't. I know the Lord told me years ago that he'd give me authority over 10 cities, and I like that. But that whatever I was doing when Jesus returned, he'd give me authority over that. Now, I don't know. Bob, I might be in Jerusalem, you know, but I might be in Plano. I don't expect to be in Sarcoxy.